We've been looking at the parables from Luke 15, starting last week. Michael began our parables section. You know, you might be saying, well, why are we doing that instead of like the Christmas story and all that kind of thing? You know, there was a whole lot of seeking and a whole lot of finding going on and a whole lot of joy going on in these parables. And it's certainly reminiscent of the Christmas story, and I'll have a little bit more to say about that in just a moment. But Luke chapter 15, I hope you've found that. I think Luke 15, and if you have a bulletin, I've put some things there that you might be helpful to your taking notes and whatnot. But I think Luke 15 is without question the probably the most famous parable chapter in all of Scripture, really depicting, I think, the gripping fashion that of unmistakable joy that comes when that which is most precious to us and that which is lost is found. When you read Luke 15. You cannot overlook the pain that the shepherd experienced when, even though he had 99 sheep that were in the fold, there was one missing. And if you, hopefully last week when Michael spoke, that you were able to put yourself in the shepherd's place. And you cannot overlook the pain, as we will look in just a few moments at the story of the lost coin in verses 8 through 10. You can't overlook the pain of the woman who, though she had 9 other silver coins, she had lost one. She'd misplaced one. And the effort that she went through just to try to find that lost coin. More to say about that in a moment. You can't overlook the pain next week when Andy Oath speaks, when he speaks on the parable of what some call the prodigal son, some would call, you know, the loving father. But you can't overlook the pain of that dad when he had a child who really made unusual demands. They weren't unusual so much the kind of demand, but it was when the demands were made. Father was still alive and he wanted his inheritance. Give me. And you just can't overlook the pain experienced by that father, as no doubt he, you know, it's been depicted in, I've heard in many messages I've preached myself, as he certainly was watching every day. Don't you know he got up every day and was watching? So it was just the pain of just loss. And yet, there is the unmistakable joy that comes in finding. Been there? Have you been there? Where there's something most precious to you and you've misplaced it or it's lost. Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a job, maybe it's finances, maybe it's health. Where that which you once knew, now all of a sudden, it's the pain of the loss. But a verse that I alluded to a while ago from Psalm 30. Where is Psalms? For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night. You know the rest of that? But a shout of joy can be heard in the morning. And really, if you think about it, that's the focus of the Christmas story, isn't it? Yeah, if you think, no wonder the angel told the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11, don't be afraid, for I've got some good news that's going to bring great joy your way. And that must have been very important to these lowly shepherds, one of the lowest of occupations. Maybe the only occupation lower than that was that of a woman. So there's some real comparisons here. No wonder the angel choir broke out in this amazing chorus, this amazing time of praise when they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Or the wonder of the Magi, when it says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with," you say it, "great joy." Great joy. The pain is palpable. No mistake about the pain in these three parables. But this morning I want us to focus on the unmistakable joy. Mary knew some joy whenever she was found to be with child. And then she, as she pondered those things in her heart, she began to understand. And so no wonder she broke out with, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." I get it. I get it. Seeking, but finding. And Simeon, you know his story. You'll find it in Luke chapter 2, somewhere around verses 23, 24 or so. But in verse 30 it says, "Now my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." Translation, "I think I've seen it all. It just doesn't get any better than this." To which I think he probably heard the angel of the Lord say, "Well, count to three and you'll see Jesus." Yeah, there's some gut-wrenching pain when that which is most precious to us is lost. But oh, the unmistakable joy when our seeking leads to finding and our finding leads to sharing with others what we have found. So let's read the parable, okay? Luke chapter 15 and verses 8, 9, and 10. I'm just going to read it for us, and then we'll get the context of it, and then I'm going to just draw your attention to two or three matters of content before we try to answer just what's the point. What's the point of this? All right, here's the parable. And it begins with a question, similar question that Michael's parable began with last week, verse 4, to the shepherd, "What man among you," okay, is asked, and in verse 8 with the woman, "or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way," verse 10 says, "I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over just one sinner who repents." Wonder what it was like when you heard Jesus knocking on your heart's door. Revelation 3:20 says that he stands at the door and he knocks. Now, I know that was written to a church, but as for us, I don't think that does injustice to that particular verse. He stands at our heart's door and he knocks. And if anyone will hear him knocking and will open the door, he has promised to do what? To come in, to have fellowship, to sup. It's the root of the word supper. Supper, supper. It just means to share, to share a meal together, to share life together. I wonder what it was like in heaven whenever you heard Jesus knocking on your heart's door and you decided to open the door. Oh, yeah, I'm with you, Lloyd. What was that like? And there was celebration according to the scripture when just one sinner repents. What a party. When just one sinner who repents, there is joy in the presence of the angels. What do you think? High fives? Yeah! You know, we've been praying. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and they're cheering us on. That's what I think is going on. They're saying, come on, man. Have a deeper, fuller revelation of Jesus in your life. And when someone decides to have that, to say, oh, God, come, as the song, as our worship leaders led us a while ago, come, Holy Spirit. We want you in our life. When that happens, I just have a sense that there is this amazing party that breaks out in heaven. That's why I get so dadgum frustrated. Dadgum? I said dadgum. That's a Christian cuss word. Whenever we have these songs that talk about, you know, when our sin goes away and when God comes and we suddenly become new creatures in Christ, man, we ought to be jumping for joy. I mean, yeah, we've got pain. It's only for a moment. Joy comes in the morning. Let me give you some content here that might help you understand what the woman was going through. Maybe you'll identify. Or what woman if she has 10 silver coins? I've read some accounts that Palestinian women and women of the first century and even before, whenever they would be proposed to, it's like a dowry almost kind of a thing, they would receive some wedding nuptials. And one of those things was this garland or this necklace. Sometimes it was worn about the head, sometimes around the neck, that had 10 silver coins. Now the translation in Greek is drachma. It was about 18 cents of our money today. This necklace, by our standards, was only $2. Now, I was having this conversation with my mother-in-law the other day, and she was saying, you know, we used to do that, and it used to only cost a quarter. We were talking about some kind of a sandwich or something like that. And I said, yeah, and I used to go to Reuben's. Anybody remember Reuben's hamburger? Nobody remembers Reuben's? Get out of here. Ask your parents. You know? Reuben's, I think it was Reuben's, isn't that the name of it? 7 hamburgers for $1. Oh, get out of here, you know that. Everybody acts like you've never heard that before. There was a time when stuff was like that, but I told my mother-in-law, I said, yeah, but you know, a buck in those days was worth it was worth at least 90 cents, wasn't it? Yeah. But I mean, you know, now that, you know, it's bigger, now you can't hardly go to these places without, you know, 10, 12 bucks, and all you get is a sandwich and a bunch of greasy fries, and, you know, only if your wife doesn't know. But it was worth a lot to her. Is it possible that that's what she lost? She lost one of these silver coins from the thing that was most precious to her? I don't know many women that don't look forward to the day when they get married. I don't know if that's what it was that she lost, but possibly it was one of those silver coins. So important to her. And what does she do? But she lights a lamp and she sweeps the house. Typical Palestinian houses in those days rarely had windows. They just had openings, doors. And so, you know, 5 o'clock these days, it's dark outside. And so, she lit a lamp and she had to find this thing. It wasn't that, well, I'll just wait till tomorrow morning when the sun comes up. No, no, no. This was so very, very important to her. And she lit a lamp and she swept the house. Typically clay, hard clay, maybe floors in the house. And so she would sweep it. Sometimes they would put branches down, palm branches on the floor in certain areas to make it a little bit softer for walking. So can you imagine what that was like, trying to find a coin, a silver coin amidst all of that in the dark? That's like a needle in a haystack, we would say today. But she searched carefully until she found it. And when she had found it, this is the last part of the content before we get to the point that I want to make. And that is, when she found it, what did she do? Like the shepherd before, she called her friends. Now, it's interesting. You can't tell this from English translations. But the words that are used for friend here and the word that is used for friends up in verse 6, when it says the shepherd found the sheep, it says he came home, he called together his friends and his neighbors. The word friend there is a masculine. So, you know, shepherds typically were guys. And so he called all of his guy friends, are you with me, together to rejoice. It's feminine here. It's probably not a big deal to you guys. To any of you, but when I looked at that, I said, whoa, wait a minute. You know, when I was reading this in the Greek, I thought, wait a minute. That's not a masculine ending on that word. That's a feminine ending on that word. Now, they tried to describe that by saying his friends in verse 6 and in verse 9, her friends. Now, the only reason I bring that up, and I think it's important, is that once you have lost something that someone else knows is very special to you, women have things that are very special to them. As a guy, you know, if you lose a thing, it's so what? You know? And it's the same way with a guy. My wife doesn't care if I've misplaced my shotgun. Okay? And it, you know, I don't know where the waffle iron is, honey. But some of that waffle irons are probably not that. It's not quite like wedding nuptials. But I do remember a time when you know, annually she'll get the prongs on her diamond. She'll get it inspected to make sure that it's you know, it's fastened tight. And I remember one time one of them broke, and she discovered it when she snagged it, her ring, on a piece of clothing. And then she looked at it and she thought, oh my gosh, we got to get that to Dan Archibald, who's going to fix that thing, you know. We got to get that to a jeweler. We got to do that. And she was adamant, no, we've got to do it now. We've got to. In fact, as I recall, we were on vacation somewhere, and she said, I don't think I can wait till I get home to take it to Dan. We got to take it to a jeweler down wherever we were, kind of a thing. And so she took it, don't tell Dan. But so she took it, and she got this prong. And the guy, I remember, he took the deal with his eyes and all that stuff, and he looked in and he said, oh man, you know, this diamond was just this close of falling out. And it was so important to her. And it's a thing that you ladies could really identify with. My mother-in-law still tells us the story of when she was much younger and she lost her wedding ring or her diamond. And it went down the drain of their house and stuff. And how wonderful it was whenever for Christmas one year her husband replaced that ring. And gave her, and see, look at her. How special this was. And when it is lost, when something that is most precious is lost, and then you find it, you want to share it with those who can really appreciate the fact that that thing was lost. I know how important that was to you, and you've now found it. So she called together her girlfriends. I think that's what this says. So that's the context. And that's the content. So what's the point for us today? You know, these are just nice stories if they just remain stories. The question, as I say often when we read scriptures, not so much what does it say as much as what does that mean? What does that mean? So here's what it means. For us this morning. Yeah, there was unmistakable, palpable, pain for this woman, but unmistakable joy. And so what I want to say, first of all, is this. There is, if you're taking notes, there is great joy in seeking. Now, isn't that a little interesting? Yeah, we get it with finding. But I want to suggest to you that there's great joy even in the process of seeking. Do you guys have a life verse? Have you ever heard that phrase before, a life verse? You know, some people have a life verse kind of a thing. So, well, that's my life verse. I have a life verse. Whenever I write a note to anybody, if it's out someplace, or I'm writing a note to and thanking a waitress for service, or something like that, or appreciate someone who took care of the car and on the bottom of the bill, sometimes I'll put my life verse, Romans 12:12. If you've ever gotten a letter from me, it'll always say, you know, Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation, but be constant in prayer. That's my life verse. And that's been my life verse for years and years and years. And it's important to me because for me, seeking is often praying. Whenever I pass by one of your all's houses, I always pray. I typically always pray for you. I go by Spring Crest, I'm always praying for Ken and Lisa Jenkins. I go down a little bit further, I'm always praying for the Williams. Always praying for you guys. Always see that. Look for the black truck, Steve, that's got the tiger tail that's hanging out the back end of that thing. I say, well, Steve's there. I'm going to pray for Steve. I'm going to pray for Joan, you know. And whatever's going on, you know, if it's a job or if it's a this or if it's a health issue or whatever, kind of a thing like that. Then I get down a little bit further, and there's Wyatt Lane, and that's where Matt and Caitlin, that's where they live. And that's Caitlin is Ken and Lisa's daughter. And so I always pray for them as I'm going by. And so I try to do that. I'm praying. What am I doing? I'm seeking. I'm saying, oh God, give them a deeper and a fuller revelation of Jesus. Give my mother-in-law a deeper and fuller revelation of Jesus. You know, give the Simpsons a deeper and fuller. When I'm out up Centralia and I go by the Sunny Vale Dale thing, you guys live out that way. I know where you live. And so I'm always praying, give them a deeper and a fuller revelation of Jesus. I do that. When I pass the Bevanses over there, from there on the do-wah-diddy thing, and yeah, Broadway. When I pass Broadway, they're on the corner and stuff. And, you know, and I pray for these guys. I'm seeking. I'm saying, oh God, give them a deeper and fuller revelation of Jesus. Let them find that today. That's one way of seeking. I take great joy in that. I do. You know what the scripture says about prayer? It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. I think there's great joy in seeking. Difficulty and loss, for me, provokes faith. Yeah. Are you with me on that? Yeah. Think about that. When I've lost something, I could focus on the thing that I've lost, and I could bemoan that, and I could, you know, woe is me, and how come I lost that thing, and how stupid was I when I did that, and you know, all of that kind of thing. I should have done this, and I didn't do that. I can focus on the woulda, shoulda, couldas. Or I can turn my eyes to Jesus, like the song that we sang about oceans. Lift your eyes up above the waves. Look to Him. Why look to Him? Because He knows right where the thing is. He does. He knows where that thing is. Whatever it is that is special to you. My daughter had a life verse found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 and following. This is for you, Mark. And this is for all of us. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. If there's anything we know about you, buddy, it's wherever you go, people are seeing that not only are you a seeker, but you're a finder. And you are continuously sharing what you have found with others. There's no place I go. 30, 40, 50 firemen coming up into the room every day. Saying, oh man, I usually say, oh, I met one of them, Tommy. Was that Tommy I met this past week? And Tommy came in and brought his kids. His kids painted these little pictures for Mark and everything. And he's in pain and he's all this and that kind of deal. And he's trying to put a good face on the thing. I know he's not feeling good. I saw the monitors. I see what's going on there. And I understand some of that stuff. And so these little kids came in and they had these little pictures of hearts that they had drawn. They had colored. They weren't perfect. But these were these precious little children that were just wanting to love on Mark. Why? Because Mark had loved on them. There's great joy in seeking. So anyway, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, you realize that that's for every one of us. I don't remember getting cramps in my hamstring when I was 15 or 16. Of course, I don't remember stuff I did this morning either, so that's another issue. Verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. That is, if you lift your eyes above the waves, if you're drowning in the minutiae of the moment, whatever it is, and I'm not minimizing your pain. The pain for the shepherd was very palpable, was unmistakable. The pain for this woman was unmistakable. The pain that you'll hear when Andy preaches next Sunday of the father in the loss of his son. Where's my boy today? I don't even know where he's at. I'd call to him. I'd go to him. But I don't know where he's at. Pain's real. I don't want to minimize that. But I want to tell you, joy comes in the morning. There's unmistakable joy to these, and so Charis's life verse goes on, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, but are no less real, in fact, more real. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That was her life verse. She even had a little tract that she came up with. I know Dave Fries, we'd gone to Mardi Gras, 116 times or something. We had gone a lot of times. We'd pass out tracts, and I know you passed out Charis's tracts. And we passed them out all over the place. There was a guy in an airport in Atlanta, Georgia, that came across one of her tracks. We heard about it. His name was Dave Dravecki. Do you know who that is? Baseball pitcher that lost his arm. Wrote a book soon thereafter entitled Do Not Lose Heart. And he became very close to Charis. He would call and he would say, I just want to pray for you and want to encourage you today. You just don't know. You don't know what happens when you're in the process of seeking. There's great joy in seeking. There was for all of those characters in the Christmas story. The second point I want to make to you is there's greater joy in finding. And I don't need to go on and on about that. How good it is. Yeah, okay, seeking. But whoa, to find it? Oh, man. But I want to suggest this third point that I want to underscore, and then we'll finish. In fact, Kenny, if you'd come on up, please. You're going to have the whole band up here with you? You want the whole band? Oh, cool. Come on, band. Come on up. Whoever's left, where are they at? Get them up. Come on, band. I want to suggest this. There's greatest joy in sharing with others. That's what this woman did. She sought for this lost coin. She found the lost coin after she searched carefully for it. And then when she found it, what did she do? She called her girlfriends together. And she said, let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Because the stuff that I had, you remember that thing I had that was so precious to me that it was lost? It's found now. And then God puts this amen on the end of it. And I tell you this, there is great joy in heaven among the angels, the great cloud of witnesses. Maybe today somebody here will say yes to Jesus and will say, you know, I don't understand all this, but I'm hearing the door. I'm hearing the knock at the door. I'm opening that door. I'm coming right. Maybe whatever's keeping you from that, I'm coming right on through, and I'm asking you to come in and have a meal with me and build life with me, Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, if that happens this morning in this room, oh my, what a party. What a party. High five. Yeah. We've been praying for him. We've been interceding for him. We wanted him to get it. We wanted her to get it. We wanted her to come to a deeper, fuller revelation of Jesus. And they did today. All of our prayers have hit the mark. Greatest joy when we share with others. Just can't help but share with others when you've found the most precious thing that you had lost. Can't keep that in. Can you? Yeah, I can't. I met a waitress yesterday. Sally and I went out to eat. Her name was Angel. Is there anybody in here that couldn't do something with that? I mean, anybody got anything in here that caused you to say, let me tell you what happened to me. When she found it, she calls together her girlfriends, neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the coin which I had lost. In the same way, I tell you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I just want us to end our time today with worship. I want us to celebrate. Well, we got a celebration. You got a celebration song, anybody? Something's brewing there, isn't it? Something's brewing. Okay, you're going to lead us. Let's worship. Let's celebrate. Let's sing. Let's do something. You know, the scripture says in Psalm 107 and verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If we can't get happy about just what God is doing in our lives, that once we were seekers, but then we were finders. So let's do some sharing right now and sing for joy. Psalm 132 and verse 9 says, let your godly ones sing for joy. So let's stand and let's sing and let's get happy and whatever else we want to do. You got a song for us? This has got a good start.
For yeah. Unto us a child is born.
Yeah, that's something to get happy about.
Given. A son is given.
Sing it again.
For unto us a child is born. A son is given. A son is given.
The Messiah.
The Messiah,
oh, to see him
high and lifted up,
oh,
shining in the light of his glory.
Pour out your power
and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy to us a child is born,
a son is given. A son is given.
Why don't we just spread out a little bit?
A son is given.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, the Messiah. Oh, let's see him.
High and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light of his glory.
Pour out your power
and love. Holy, holy, holy,
to see him
high.
holy, 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 holy.
There is no one like you.
Oh, sing it again. Holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy.
Oh, yeah.
Holy, holy, holy,
holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy.
For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. Oh Messiah, oh to see him, to see him high and lifted up, shining in the light of his glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see him high and lifted up, shining in the light of his glory. Pour out your power,
pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Us a child is born.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. For unto us a child is born.
Oh,
holy, holy, holy.
We celebrate, Lord God, the presence of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you guys. See you this next Sunday. Andy will be speaking. It'll be a good one. Go get your kids right now. God bless you.